Rashi cites the Medrash, it's Medrash Tanchuma. The last week's Sedra concluded, the Sedra we read this past Shabbos, concluded with how each of the Nesiim, the prince of each tribe, brought a special carbon, brought a special sacrifice at the dedication of the Mizbeach, for the dedication of the altar. As a matter of fact, we read these psukim about those korbanos on Chanukah, because Chanukah also is a dedication of the altar, rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rashi is troubled, and the Medrash is troubled, as to the juxtaposition. Why is it that immediately after telling us about the korbanos that the Nesiim gave, that the prince of each tribe gave, so immediately afterwards, Aaron is given the command, Baloschas Haneros, God said to Moshe, speak to Aaron and tell him that when you kindle the menorah, the light, toward the face of the menorah, shall the seven lamps cast light. In other words, the three candles on each side face the middle candle. So, and the question is, why is this mentioned in conjunction with the sacrifices that the leaders of each of the tribes gave at the dedication of the Mizbeach, of the altar? And Rashi says, quoting the Medrash again, Lefi shech shera Aaron Chanukas Hanesiim, when Aaron saw the dedication, the participation in the dedication of the Nesiim, of the prince of each tribe, so Cholsha Oz Daito, he was mentally troubled. Shlohaya imahem b'chanaka lo huva lo shifto. He was upset, not upset chas v'shalom at anybody, but upset with the situation that neither he nor his shevet, he was the leader to a certain degree of Shevet Levi, participated in the dedication of the Mizbeach by giving these same sacrifices that the prince of the other tribes gave. Amalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says, Chayecha, by your life, Shalcha Gdola Mishehem, your portion is greater than theirs, Sha'atah Madlik U'metiv Es HaMenorah, you light and you fix the menorah. Now, there are two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. And then there's a mitzvah of hatovas hamenorah. Hatovas hamenorah is fixing the wicks, putting in good oil. And before that, you have dishon hamenorah, which is getting rid of particles that might be are not conducive to the flame lasting, burn particles, burn parts of the wicks, burnt wicks where that's necessary to remove them, and to replace them is the hatava. So he says, Shatam madlik umetiv es menorah. You light and you fix the menorah. So the expression is a little strange. You would have expected them to say, atametiv umadlik es menorah. You fix the menorah. You prepare it for lighting purposes. And you light the menorah. And then the question is, what's the connection between that and the karbanos that the Nesi'im gave, that Aaron was upset about? Now the Ramban, in answering the second question, the Ramban says, it's a very famous Ramban, that Aaron was upset that he did not participate in the bringing of the karbanos and bringing of the sacrifices that were being given in honor of the dedication of the Mizbeach of the altar. And God told him, you have a greater portion. You light the menorah. Why did the Ramban says, why did the Torah pick the lighting of the menorah? Aaron did so many other things as well. He did all the avodah, whether it was Yom Kippur avodah, where the Jewish people got atonement, whether it was the korbanos, the sacrifices. Yes, people brought sacrifices, but who actually handled the sacrifices? It was the Kohanim. So why did God sort of say, appease Aaron, specifically with the mitzvah of the menorah? And the Ramban says that the mitzvah menorah is special because all the other avodos, all the other forms of service that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, that was done in the temple, could only be done, or was only done, I should say, when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence. But there were periods of time, as right now, when the Beis HaMikdash is not in existence. And all these forms of service, of karbanos, of lechem apanim, they cannot be done now. And it's true, the lighting of the menorah, the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, also cannot be done. But we have a mitzvah every year, Hanukkah, of lighting a menorah, which commemorates the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So to a certain extent, the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash represents a perpetuation, a continuation of the mitzvah of the lighting of the menorah. Excuse me, the menorah of Hanukkah represents a continuation and a perpetuation of the lighting of the menorah at the Beis HaMikdash. As a matter of fact, it was my uncle's opinion. I mean, there are those that clearly disagree. And I think my uncle said that he heard this and also in the name of Davni Nezer, that the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is to be differentiated from the mitzvah of saying hallel, of saying hallel on Hanukkah. Hallel was instituted right at the beginning, right after the miracle. L'shon Acheres, for the next year, the Rambam's expression, the Chachamim Shabosa Hador, the sages of that generation, of the generation of the Chashmonaim, who witnessed the victory, who witnessed the salvation from Greek oppression, from Hellenistic approach to wipe out the Jewish religion. They instituted the mitzvah of saying Hallel on Hanukkah. But the mitzvah of lighting the menorah was instituted later. And from Rashi and the Rambam, I'm not going to go into it now. It appears that way as well. I'm not saying that all Rishonim are of that opinion. Dorchas Chaim clearly did not have that opinion. But the question is, at what point did they institute the mitzvah of lighting the menorah? And it was my uncle's opinion, it depends how you read the Ramban. It was my uncle's opinion that, at least according to some Rishonim, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah was instituted after the Churban, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in a sense to continue the lighting of a menorah. When it comes to Korbanos, when it comes to sacrifices, when it comes to the other avodos, when it comes to the other services that Aaron HaKohen did, so that had no continuation, that had no perpetuation. But the lighting of the menorah continued for generations. And to whose credit was this? This was to the credit of the Chashmonaim. Who were the Chashmonaim? The Chashmonaim were the Kohanim. B'mei Matishyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonaim Vanav. They were the Kohanim. They were the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. So it was to their credit. It was to their credit that the holiday of Hanukkah, but more than that, what the holiday of Hanukkah represented, continued. And the mitzvah of the Hanukkah candles, according to my uncle, the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles for sure, continued even in the time when there was no Beis HaMikdash, So this is Aaron, you're upset that you didn't participate in bringing the Korbanos at the dedication of the Mishkan, at the dedication of the altar. The altar, to a certain degree, represented temporary service. There were periods of time when that service couldn't be performed. But as far as the mitzvah of lighting the candles, at least even after the second Churban, after the second destruction, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of lighting the candles continued. Shel chag dolah mishalehem, your portion is greater than theirs. Theirs was something that's represented temporariness, whereas yours represented permanence. Now, the only problem I have with the Ramban's explanation, and that's some medrashim say that also, that the explanation, it's ikar chasim in a sefer. In other words, the Medrash emphasizes shata madlik umeitiv es menorah. You light and you fix the menorah. You fix the wicks, you fix the oils. Why the emphasis, if the Ramban's explanation is correct, why the emphasis on this point, on lighting and fixing the lights of the menorah? Now, there is a very strange Ramban. The Ramban in talking about the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, he distinguishes between the mitzvah of lighting the menorah and the mitzvah of fixing the menorah, of cleansing the particles of the that in the menorah that are a hindrance left over, and a hindrance to the relighting of the menorah, as well as the mitzvah of fixing the wicks, putting new wicks in, whatever is necessary in preparation for the new lighting on one hand, and the mitzvah of lighting the menorah on the other hand. And the Rambam says that when it comes to lighting the menorah, in theory, if you take the menorah out into the chatzer, wherever it is, outside the Azara, outside the place where the menorah was lit. So the Rambam says that that even a czar, even somebody who is not a Kohen, could light it. But then the menorah has to be taken back to its place. And obviously it'll be done by a Kohen to bring it back to its place. So the Rambam says that the taking the menorah into the Heichel, so long as it's lit outside where a czar could stand, it's okay to have a czar, someone who's not a Kohen, light the menorah. In fact, there are some that suggest that the first time, although there are some questions about that, the menorah was lit in times of the Chashmonaim, so it was lit in the Chatzer, and then the menorah was taken back into the Beis HaMikdash in its proper place in the Heichal. So the Ravid says it's true that if you do that with the Evid after the fact, the lighting is the fact that the candles are lit, it doesn't interfere with the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But lechatchila, the Ravid says, it should be lit by a Kohen. And he says, what's the proof? The proof is in this week's Sedra. By Rabbi Hashem Moshe Leimar, Daber al Aaron, Ba'amar Teila, Bahaloscha es Neros, when you raise up the light of the Neros, of the candles, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, Aaron the Kohen, he has to be the one to light it. So how does the Rambam suggest that lechatchila, it could be done by a non-Kohen? And Reb Chaim said that the pasuk here is dealing where the candles are being lit, the menorah is lit in its proper place in the Heichal. But the Rambam is talking when he says the czar can light it where it's lit outside its proper place, not in its proper place. So Reb Chaim asks a question. He says, Reb Chaim says, but we have to understand, why is the halacha that way? If there is a mitzvah of the candles being lit by a Kohen when it's in its proper place, so there should be a requirement, and it should be makev. There should be a requirement that the candles be lit by a Kohen in its proper place. Why is it that the candles, if the menorah is taken out, and a non-Kohen lights it, and then the menorah is brought back to its proper place, you fulfill the mitzvah of having candles lit? Why is it different? Why is it different than the mitzvah of Hatava and Dishan HaMenorah. Hatava is preparing the menorah. Dishan and Hatava is preparing the menorah, fixing the wicks, fixing the oil, getting rid of the particles of the old oil of the wicks that perhaps would interfere with the lighting of the menorah. And there the halacha is, when it comes to fixing the menorah, fixing, when I say fixing the menorah, I mean the candles, the lighting of the candles, of the oil, fixing the wicks. There the law is that it has to be done. It has to be done by a Kohen. It has to be done by the Kohen himself. And if it's not done by the Kohen, the mitzvah of having candles lit is not fulfilled. So why is there a difference on one hand between the mitzvah of Hatava, fixing and preparing the candles to be lit, the oil and the wicks to be lit, and the mitzvah of lighting the candles, which is not treated in as stringent as a manner? Why is it that way? So Reb Chaim says that he also asks another question. The Gemara says that of course most of the avoda that was done in the Beis Hamikdash, the halacha was that it could be done in Shabbos. And lighting the menorah could also be done in Shabbos. But the lighting of the menorah, there was a special gzeres hakasuf, a special pasuk telling us, that serves as the basis to allow it. Why did they need a special pasuk to tell us that you can light the candle in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos? Why couldn't it be treated like all the other avod in the Beis Hamikdash that was allowed to be done in Shabbos? And Reb Chaim says that there is a difference between the mitzvah of lighting the candles and the mitzvah of Dishan HaMenorah, fixing the menorah, and Hatava, of preparing the menorah for the lighting. He says, when it comes to the, Reb Chaim says like this, the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of lighting of the candles is not when you light it. The mitzvah of Dishan HaMenorah is not, the mitzvah of Dishan HaMenorah and Hatavas HaMenorah is not when you prepare it. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the act of the mitzvah. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah is in having the menorah lit in its proper place. That was the mitzvah. That was the fulfillment of the mitzvah, the kiyum hamitzvah, the fixing of the menorah. That's the maisa hamitzvah. That's the action of the mitzvah. There are examples of that. My uncle would say very often that, let's say, on Yontif, there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, and the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is eating meat, drinking wine. But my uncle would say, that's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is the happiness or the pleasure that one has as a result of the eating and drinking. The eating and drinking, that's the maisa hamitzvah. That's the action of the mitzvah. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is in the happiness or the joy, I should say, that one has as a result of the eating and drinking on Yom Tov. And the same in the reverse is true by Avelus. We know there are all kinds of practices of mourning. But my uncle would say the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not the practices of mourning. The practices of mourning enables one to fulfill the mitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is the feeling of sadness over the loss. But there are practices of mourning that enable us to have these feelings of sadness. And another case, actually in this week's Sedra, the Torah tells us that the Ubiyom Heikim Es HaMishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan in the day. Here we learn out, Ein Bonin Es HaMikdash B'Layla. The Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash cannot be built at night. It has to be built in the day. And the question is asked by many, and there are many answers, and almost all of them are legitimate answers. Sometimes you have a question, and there's only one answer that's true. The other answers might be good answers, but they're not necessarily the true answer. Here, there are many answers, and most of them are true answers. So the question is, we have a general rule, mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. A mitzvah that's dependent upon time, women are exempt from those mitzvahs. A woman does not have to say Shema, because if a woman says Shema, on the contrary, she has a very big mitzvah. But she's not required, because it's a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. A woman doesn't have to sit in sukkah. Of course, if she sits in sukkah, she fulfills a great mitzvah. But she's not required, because the mitzvah of sukkah is dependent upon time. There are exceptions to that rule. But the general rule is that a positive commandment that is dependent upon time, a woman is not required in those mitzvahs. And the question is, the Rambam tells us that everybody is required to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the building of the temple, men and women. But the question is, if the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is only in the day and not at night, so it should be a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. It should be a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. And women should not be required to participate in that mitzvah. But the answer is, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It is not in the building of the temple. But the fulfillment of the Beis HaMikdash, in the mitzvah of Vasuli Mikdash Shachanti Besocham, you shall make for me a Mikdash and I shall dwell in their midst. That's in having a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the symbol of God's special relationship with the Jewish people. So what's the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash? That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the action of the mitzvah. But the fulfillment of the mitzvah, that is done after the Beis HaMikdash is built. Having the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of having a Beis HaMikdash, that is a continuous mitzvah that applies in the day and in the night as well. So Reb Chaim said, the same thing is true about the lighting of the candles. The fulfillment of the mitzvah, that's in keeping the candles lit in its proper place. The fixing of the menorah, the fixing of the menorah, the wicks, the oil, that's the maisa mitzvah, that's the action that halachically is considered to be a prerequisite to bringing about the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So he says, therefore, light, fixing the candles, fixing the candles, preparing it for being lit, that has to be by a kohen, because that has a direct relationship with the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah of having the candles lit. Whereas the lighting of the candles, that's a mitzvah. That mitzvah is completed when you finish lighting the candles. That mitzvah is not related. The lighting of the candles is not related to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of having the candles in a state of being lit in its proper place, of remaining lit in its proper place. That's what Reb Chaim says. But we have to understand, why is it that the halacha made this, and that's why the fixing of the menorah, the fixing of the menorah, the putting in good wicks and oils, that's considered an avoda. That can only be done by a kohen. Whereas the mitzvah of lighting the candles, you can take it outside the Beis HaMikdash and have a czar, someone who is a non-kohen, light it as well. It will not interfere with the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And we have to understand, why does the halacha associate the mitzvah of hatava, of fixing the menorah, with the fulfillment of the mitzvah of having it lit in its proper place? Whereas the mitzvah of lighting the candles is totally separate. And I think the Torah wants to emphasize, and this is especially according to the Rambam's opinion, the way Reb Chaim understood it. My uncle understood it a little differently, but the way Reb Chaim understood it, the mitzvah of lighting the candles is, as I said, is in having it lit. And let's say you come in and the candles are still lit. You don't have to put the lights out. If you could fix it, if you can fix the wicks in such a way that the light would continue, that's also okay. The only time you would have to, according to Reb Chaim, to light the candles is if it's absolutely necessary. In fact, there are some very strange midrashim that implied that there were periods of time when the light of the candles continuously for hundreds of years in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, the wicks had to be fixed. The oil had to be cleansed. But why is that? Because the mitzvah is primarily in keeping it lit in its place. Not so much the lighting of the menorah. The fixing of the menorah. The preparing the menorah even after it's lit. That is halachically considered the enabler of keeping the menorah lit. And the Rambam Shita is, according to Reb Chaim, Rambam says that in the morning they would light the candles, and then toward the evening, they would go in again, and they would if the candles went out, obviously they would relight it and put wood, or they would fix it. And Reb Chaim seems to say that in the morning, if it was still lit, they could do that. So long as they were able to fix the oil and fix the wicks in such a way that the light should continue. So the essence of the mitzvah is keeping it lit. The lighting of the menorah, that's a momentary mitzvah. It just the process of lighting. But once the process of lighting is continued, that mitzvah is over. But the mitzvah of fixing the menorah, that is fulfilled only through the duration of the continuation of the lighting. That's the enabler of the continuation of the lighting. Now, it's very interesting. At the end of this week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu complains to God when the Jewish people are continuously rebelling and complaining about that they don't have meat and all kinds of other things in the desert. And Moshe Rabbeinu uses this, strange expression, Vayomer Moshe L'Hashem. But God, Moshe said to God, I'll say in English, why have you done evil to your servant, meaning himself? Why have I not found favor in your eyes that you place the burden of all the entire people? That I conceived the entire people, or that I give birth to it, that you say to me, carry them in your bosom. In the same manner as a nurse carries a young child to the land that I could create. In other words, here Moshe Rabbeinu is almost complaining to God. Why did you give me this job? Beforehand, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the contrary, he speaks on behalf of the Jewish people. And here he complains. I can't, this is too much for me. What was it? What was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? But I think what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that there's, and my uncle says something similar in other words, you have the idea of teaching. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the teacher. And he looked forward to teaching the Jewish people. And even when they were worshipped idols, the golden calf, he felt that he was capable of putting the people on the right path because he was their teacher. But here, there was a different perspective. In a sense, he saw himself as being, in order that he had the responsibility of nurturing the Jewish people. Nurturing is most successful if it's done right at the very beginning. I was at a bris today. And when it comes to a bris, we say, Kishem Shenichnas LeBris, when a person, just like this child, came to bris, Ken Yekones LeTorah L'Chupa L'Maisim Tovim. Very strange. We don't say it by any other mitzvah. Kishem Shenichnas LeBris, just as he entered bris. There is a custom when you do a geiris that we say something along those lines, but that's only a custom. That was based on this custom. What's the idea of it? But nurturing to be most successful has to be done soon after the birth. The first mitzvah a child has is the mitzvah of bris milah. A child, it's not only the parents that fulfill the mitzvah of bris milah. The child also fulfills the mitzvah of bris milah. More than that, the mitzvah of bris milah is not just fulfilled at the time of the circumcision. But as the Beis Halevi points out, and many others point out, the mitzvah bris milah is a continuous mitzvah in being a mole, in being circumcised. It continues throughout the person's whole life. What is the idea behind it? The idea behind it, I think it reminds the parents, and it's a lesson to the child when he grows up, that you should know that what you do when you're younger, what is done for the child when he's yet an infant, that has an effect later on. And we, in a sense, we commit ourselves to the proper approach almost from birth to ensure that the child will be dedicated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah throughout his life. It's bris milah is an ongoing mitzvah because it's symbolic of this idea. It emphasizes the influence that bris milah has to have both on the child as well on the parents. The impact, the lasting impact. And what's true about bris milah is about true about physical nurturing and spiritual nurturing as well. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I had given birth to these people now, okay, nurturing would have perhaps been somewhat easier to accomplish. But I am dealing with Klal Yisrael, who are enslaved in Egypt and perhaps did not have a nurturing process at the proper time, a spiritual nurturing process. Today, when someone has problems later on in life, very often we could pinpoint the problem as being caused by something that happened early, even when they were infants. And we have to fix it then also. But the task is much harder if we have to fix something that was not done properly initially. An upbringing. If a child is not given the proper care when he was an infant, the results might not be apparent always at that time. But years later, it could have a very detrimental effect. And to undo that problem becomes much more difficult afterwards. I think that to a certain degree, it's very interesting that the Gemara in Shabbos compares the mitzvah of candles, whether it's Hanukkah candles or it's Shabbos candles, to Gemara says this called Hazoher Bener, whoever is careful about the mitzvah of lighting candles, so his reward is that he will have children that are Talmidei Chachamim, scholars. Questions, what's the connection? I think there are two connections. One connection is that when it comes to lighting the candle, you don't have to stand there. The mitzvah of lighting the candle is that at a certain point, you should be able to remove the shamish or the source of the light, and the candle should continue. an education, and to a certain degree, I think that many educators in the Torah education system don't understand it. Of course, one has to talk to Rebbeim, one has to talk to Talmidei Chachamim, one has to look up to Torah leaders. But a person has to know that he has to be able to acquire skills and the ability to think for himself as well. In other words, learning can't be all dependency. And I think it's another thing also, when it came to the menorah, the fixing of the menorah, the fixing of the oil, the using of good wicks, that is what enabled the continuation. In a sense, the using of good oil, of good wicks, fixing the menorah, taking out particles that might be a hindrance to the keeping of the light going. That is the process of the nurturing of the light of the menorah. It might not be so apparent right at the beginning, but the better the wick, the better the oil, more likely that light is going to stay lit. The mitzvah of the menorah is to keep it lit. And I think that perhaps this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell Aaron, Shelcha gdola mishalehem, Shata madlik umeitiv es haMenorah. Your portion is greater. Why? Because very often we have to evaluate, what is the greater honor? What is the greater mitzvah? Is it the participation of the one-time service? Or is it the participation in the continuous service? The everyday service? Aaron was despondent because here we were dedicating the Mizbeach, we're dedicating the altar, dedicating the Mishpeach, dedicating the Mishkan, which was the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash for generations, a one-time event in history of mankind. And he couldn't participate in the same manner as the leaders of the other Shvatim. He couldn't, and his Shevet and his tribe did not participate in the same manner. So he felt despondent. God told Moshe, tell Aaron, Shelcha gdola mishalehem. Your portion is greater than theirs because you're representing the continuous service and the lighting of the menorah. The lighting of the menorah, that represents the continuous service. Especially according to the Rambam's opinion, that the menorah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is in the menorah always being lit, keeping it lit. And perhaps we could suggest this in the Ramban also. In other words, why is it that the menorah is used, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu manipulated, that the menorah should be used as the symbol of the continuous aboda, irregardless if there is a Beis HaMikdash or there is no Beis HaMikdash, irregardless if there is a temple or there is no temple? The reason is because the menorah symbolized, more than any other form of aboda, it symbolized this idea of continuous aboda. continuous service. And since, because it was the responsibility to light it and to keep it lit in such a way that it should remain lit, it represented the idea of continuous service. Not so, it became the symbol of continuous service, not only when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, but even when the Beis HaMikdash was not in existence. The menorah remained as the symbol of service. That the service of the Beis HaMikdash in some form or shape continued even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And that was through the efforts of the children of Aaron, the Hashmonaim, who were following the example of their ancestor Aaron HaKohen, who was the symbol of continuous service. And this is the significance of the menorah. It reminds us that the most important service is not this temporary service, but it's the continuous service. Now it's interesting that what is the nature of the mitzvah of menorah? Now, if you take a look at the Masorah, so the Baal Masorah says that in Parshas Bahaloscha there is 136 verses corresponding to Mahalal Kel. I said a kuf instead of an aleph, which is equal to 136. Now, what does the word Mahal Kel, praise God, have to do with this sedra? Now, when you take a look at the Rambam, and when he Hilchos Chanukah Purim, so he says there are two mitzvos medivrei sofrim. There are two mitzvos. And my saw and my uncle Shiurim, he raises the question, why two mitzvos? There's more than two mitzvos. In Chanukah alone, there is two mitzvos. You have the mitzvah of Hallel, and you have the mitzvah of the candles. So why does the Rambam say that between Chanukah and Purim, there are two mitzvos? Okay, as far as the Megillah, as far as Purim is concerned, there's many more mitzvahs, but you can say it's all part of the mitzvah of Megillah, fulfilling what the Megillah says. But Chanukah has two mitzvahs in itself. One is hollow and one is lighting candles. So my uncle said that the mitzvah of lighting candles is a form of hollow also. It's praise of God. It's giving praise to God. The lighting of the menorah is a form of Hallel also. And I think we could suggest that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continuously doing everything for the Jewish people. For that matter, doing everything for mankind. Continuously. If at one moment, Chas V'Shalom, the world would just cease to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the enabler of the continuation of the world. It's obvious that we're not going to be able to say all day and say Hallel. But the menorah at the Beis HaMikdash, and to a certain degree, what is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash, in a sense, God created the world, God created the world for man, as a residence for man. The Beis HaMikdash is the residence that man creates for God. So the whole Beis HaMikdash is indicative of recognition of what God has created for us, and that God continues to, in a sense, to to continue the world. So when we create a residence for him, we have the menorah going constantly 24 hours, because we show that we really have an obligation to constantly give praise, because every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us and for all of mankind. And perhaps this, from a Hashkafa perspective, this is behind the sheet of the Rambam, that the menorah had to, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of menorah is in its being continuously lit 24 hours a day. And it's our responsibility to keep it lit, because when we focus on that, we recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continually taking care of all our needs.
Hey, thank you. If anyone has a question, please put it in the chat. Does anyone have any questions? He doesn't seem there's any questions. So thank you, Rebbe. Thank you, everyone, for being here after Shavuos. We weren't able to have a share last week, but Amir Tashem will be back on our regular Sunday schedule. And everyone have a Shavuot Tov.
Oh.